What is up? Welcome to another edition of the new NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man MG, Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And I'm really proud of myself for not going back to the old title today. I really thought that I was going to screw it up.
Well done.
You did it.
Yeah. Small things, man. The little things. Yep. Well, we are on the verge of starting week four. Plenty to talk about there, including some big news that we'll get to in just a moment. But we'll do our normal big questions of the week. Fantasy Gold Mines, Wastelands, our streaming options as well. Should be a pretty straightforward show for you today. But first, we'll go behind the glasses. We always do talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's going on?
I'm finally excited heading into a weekend of football now with the Giants. I'm really just deciding between is Daniel Jones going to score more than Patrick Mahomes or maybe he's like just right there neck and neck with him. So, I mean, feeling pretty good.
We've already gotten to that point, haven't we?
Yeah. We've reached that point. So I have to ask, between you, Eddie, and Fabs here, you guys being the East Coasters in our group, I saw that Twitter was going abuzz because Mike Francesa is in a movie.
Isn't it an Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah. And he threw an F-bomb out, too. Did you see the trailer?
I did watch the trailer, yeah. It's like he's there with Kevin Garnett. He's playing like a bookie or something in there.
Yeah. It's I grew up, I love Mike Francesa, and a lot of people can't stand him. He's like the Yankees. You either love him or you hate him.
I feel like he's a thing that like New Yorkers love and the rest of the country is like just doesn't get it.
But you guys
are always putting out clips of him like sounding senile. I'm like, yeah. What's the purpose?
So Funhouse is a Twitter account that I follow. I'm sure Eddie, you do too.
I do.
And I mean, he wrecks Francesa. And I get it. There's some editing there done, but there's oftentimes situations where Francesa might say one thing earlier in the week and then maybe change his tune later in the week. Doesn't make me love Francesa any less, but he had been getting destroyed on social media because he said on his show, people are jealous and that's what's going to happen. And when you say that makes you seem like you are condescending to everyone else, that I'm better than everyone else, and of course everyone's going to just pour it on.
He's just a guy that I think if you grew up in a certain time, especially when he was with Dog, you just kind of fell in love with them. You love their banter, and then they kind of they split up, and then like you were saying, Marcus, he says a lot of like egregious stuff, wrong stuff. He sounded almost senile, but the people that already were locked into him are going to always enjoy him no matter what, and the rest of the country is like, well, this guy is wrong on everything. He sounds like he's uninformed, sounds like he doesn't watch sports. Yeah. So that's why I think a lot of people now are like, what's the point of this? Like, he does radio in every wrong way you possibly could. He's a 4-hour show of just phone calls. I mean, yeah. But like I said, he has these hardcore locked in fans, so there's nothing you can do about it.
And also too, I think people, when he left, he made a big deal about retiring and leaving and everything else, and then he was retired for like what? Brett Favre was retired for longer than Francesa.
I had no idea he was even retired.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really had no idea he was even that big of a thing.
Mike and the Mad Dog was literally the best sports talk show that's lived. Maybe I'm biased. I don't feel like there is a talk show out there in the history of sports that's better than Mike and the Mad Dog.
Wow. And even though Matt Money Smith and he has...
I love Matt Money Smith, but this is...
Yeah, I mean that.
This is like Mount Rushmore.
I will say that's totally an East Coast thing because everything I've heard of Francesa, he sounds like he's senile, and every time I hear the Mad Dog, he's screaming at me for no apparent reason, and I'm like, why would you want this?
I don't get the appeal either.
The banter that those two had back and forth, and the knowledge that they both had, and I get it, Francesa. Okay, he's getting up there in age, right? Maybe he's already there, and he has said some things that would sort of make him seem as though he was senile. But the knowledge that those two guys have across an array of professional sports and even college is pretty ridiculous.
Well, on the flip side, how Adam Sandler is like a guy's life I definitely want, just making movies like with whoever he wants. The guy just racks in the Netflix cash. He's living the dream.
Netflix, I think he was like the first guy that Netflix just dump trucked a bunch of money on like for like 6 or 7 movies. I don't think any of them have actually been good, but
I watched that
without saying.
What was the one? Mystery something or other? Like
On the Boat?
With Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
I watched it. It was awful.
It was whatever. He showed it to like award shows with like Yankees t-shirts and gym shorts on. Like that guy is, I strive to be that guy.
I hear he's a really friendly, personable guy though. I just quick. I have friends who worked over at Sony, the Sony lot, and they say he's the guy. He's the guy who will show up on the treadmill like right next to you when all the other treadmills are empty. He'll get on the treadmill right next to you and then want to talk about basketball for like half an hour.
That's awesome.
So yeah, there you go. So, all right, enough Adam Sandler talk. Let's do some news.
Through the news.
Well, the big news, you may have seen it this morning. I did while I was eating my breakfast. Multiple reports are saying Melvin Gordon could be back with the Chargers very soon. In fact, could be as soon as this Thursday that he will end his holdout and report back to the team. Now, I wouldn't expect that he's going to show up and suit up and play in week four for the Chargers, but this does mean, Fabs, that he will probably, if these reports are true, he'll be back on the field very soon, which means Austin Ekeler takes a bump back. And what, Justin Jackson suddenly kind of goes back to the waiver?
Not rosterable, yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic between Gordon and Ekeler when they come back. So you know, over the last couple of seasons, we've seen it. Gordon's been the featured back. He's getting the goal line opportunities. But Ekeler had standalone flex value because he's such a versatile guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's a ridiculous playmaker. So I'm very interested to see, considering that, you know, Gordon's held out, and at some point he's coming back here soon. At least those are the reports. Oh, what do we see? Do we see Ekeler back to second on the depth chart? Do they ease Gordon back in slowly because he hadn't played football for a while? And when Gordon is back at football speed and in football shape, does he reclaim that featured role where Ekeler comes in and, you know, becomes that change of pace back who still has some standalone flex value? Or are we looking at a committee and that could make our lives a bit of a headache?
I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm waiting. I don't know.
I have no clue about what the Chargers are going to do here, right? I mean, like, Gordon has been away from the team for nearly 2 months. Austin Ekeler has been balling the hell out while he's been off the field holding out. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I really have no idea how they're going to approach the situation. Yeah. It could go full-blown committee here, which
we're
going to
be
fine
out.
For fantasy. But
yeah, hey, Ekeler owners, enjoy the Dolphins game this weekend.
See, why I look at it
could
is
be,
that
could be one of the last.
I know that folks who have Ekeler are sort of panicked, but I look at it as you got above and beyond what you expected out of Austin Ekeler, right? I mean, you drafted him probably, you know, at 6th, 7th round, maybe as a handcuff to Melvin Gordon. And then it turns out that through the first 3 weeks, he's a top 3, top 5 running back, right? So even if he goes back to being kind of a secondary feature in the Chargers offense, we saw last year he had standalone value even with Melvin Gordon. So I know people are panicked and wondering what to do. And my advice is, like, look, just understand that you got a bargain for a few weeks there, yeah. And now he goes back. Because, yeah, so you also drafted another couple running backs ahead of him. He's not,
yes.
He was not your predictable RB1, right? You've got somebody else there. So now he just goes back to being like a matchup-based flex option.
Well, yeah, you drafted Austin Ekeler, right, with the under the pretense that Melvin Gordon at some point would be coming back. And it just so happens that Austin Ekeler has literally been one of the three best fantasy running backs for the first 3 weeks, and he's going to smash against the Dolphins. Austin Ekeler's owners are most likely going to be sitting on 4-0
right.
this season.
So, I mean, just, you know, enjoy it while it is, and then, you know, you just go back to what your contingency plan was at the beginning of the season. That's
exactly.
All there is to it. Cam Newton has already been ruled out for week 4. He is dealing reportedly with a Liz Frank injury. Liz Frank is just, she's rough, man.
Who is she, by the way?
No, she's not kind to athletes' feet. I know that. No timetable on his return. So, Graham, this means it is Kyle Allen for the foreseeable future. I assume he's right now just a matchup-based starter and kind of nothing more?
It is, yeah. I've seen some buzz about Kyle Allen potentially being like a streamer every single week, and I just don't really see it. You have to understand this Cardinals secondary last week is just so brutal right now, and they're just going to continue to get ripped. But Kyle Allen can play a little bit, and I think this is great. In general, I don't think it's really that bad of news for DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, especially given where Cam is at and as a passer at this point in his career right now.
Yeah, he had a really good passer rating throwing to Greg Olsen also last week. And I agree with you. I was big on Kyle Allen. I like him this week, but he is a matchup-based starter. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not get things confused. But I will say this. I dropped Cam Newton in one of my leagues this week, and I didn't feel all that bad about it. Because when you look at his last 4 games where he hasn't had a touchdown, Graham, he hasn't rushed for a touchdown since last October, okay? Cam Newton is basically built in terms of a fantasy player based on what he can do with his legs. And if he is not running with the football, if he's not going in there and punching it in near the goal line, he's not really that useful for fantasy owners. So I didn't feel bad about dropping him. In his last four games, I think he's averaged 9 rushing yards a game. The rushing attempts are way down. I actually want to see what Kyle Allen can do. And I'm very interested to see what he can do against Houston, whose defense has not been all that great against the pass road game. So it's going to be tougher. And Arizona is where he went to high school. So maybe a little friendlier environment. But I'm really interested to see what this kid can do this week.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Panthers schedule. This week is the Texans. Next week is the Jaguars. Then the Bucks. They're on the road at Tampa, which I'm still not sure what to make of that Buccaneers defense. Because on the one hand, it looks like it's better, but on the other hand, they still are giving up yards.
Yeah, their secondary is bad, but their front seven, led by Shaq Barrett, who's been
phenomenal.
Yeah, he's literally turned his career around here in Tampa. Definitely not. The Bucs are not the same matchup that we were kind of hammering against last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one I want to keep an eye on. I guess we'll watch the Bucs over the next couple weeks to kind of get a better idea of whether or not you would roll Kyle Allen out in that situation. Back here to Los Angeles, Sean McVay says he has to do a, quote, better job of using Todd Gurley.
You think, Marcus? You think?
Sean McVay has pissing talked me off, so man. Much about Todd Gurley over the past, like, 9 months. he's just lied.
And none of it's believable at this point, right?
You can't believe Sean McVay about anything he's going to say about Todd Gurley.
For me, the biggest thing is, they've got to work him into the passing game, right? I think he's got...
Dude, he's got like barely any targets this season.
He's got, what, 6 targets, I believe? 6 targets, 4 catches. 4 catches for 8 yards.
And you know what, too, guys? When I watch him, he looks fine. He doesn't look like a guy who's got a bad knee. And they just are... They're neutering this guy's fantasy value. They really are. Unless there's something that we don't know, which is quite possible, it is... It is just confusing as hell to me.
So the Rams have kind of changed their offensive philosophy, right? Like they used to be, over the past couple of years, they've been one of the teams that have targeted their running backs most, especially in early downs. And now they basically stopped throwing the ball to the running back. I think they're dead last in terms of target share to their running backs this year. They're just running their offense through their 3 receivers. And I don't know if this is going to change anytime soon. I think Todd Gurley still has his burst in a straight line, but I think I'm concerned that Gurley can't make the same cuts and can't make the same kind of lateral shifty movements that you have to have in a passing game. And maybe that's why they're not necessarily, you know, featuring him as a receiver so much, because that was such a huge part of his fantasy value in the past.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm also wondering too, because they're not using him in the passing game. They're not running the ball super effectively. At least they certainly didn't on Sunday night against the Browns. They did not run the ball all that well. I noted that it seemed like their best running plays were running those jet sweeps and those end arounds when they got the ball to Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks. And you start to wonder too, and I'm trying to find this, and I probably won't have it for this show, but maybe I'll tweet it out. I'd be interested to see how much they're using play action this year versus last year, because that was such a big part of what they did, what made them so successful. And you just wonder if there's no real threat of Todd Gurley getting the football or being effective as a runner, then I don't know how effective their play action game is going to be, but I would be curious.
I've got it right here, actually.
Okay, look at that.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus, the wonders of the modern internet.
There you go.
They're still using play action about the same rate, 37%, 4th most in the league.
Okay, well, there you go then. All right, well, we'll see how they get him involved, because I know a lot of folks are hoping for more out of Todd Gurley. The Rams, I know, are hoping for more out of Todd Gurley. Jay Gruden says he will not bench Case Keenum, says he wants, quote, continuity at quarterback. There was a photo floating around the Twitters yesterday of Dwayne Haskins looking irritated and just frustrated on the bench while Case Keenum was going over scouting charts and photos. I don't know that throwing Dwayne Haskins to the Wolves, or rather to the Bears, on Monday night was going to be a good situation. And look, maybe, Fabs, this was just a really, really terrible game for Case Keenum against a really, really good defense. But at 0-3, with an offense that really is just okay, I can't imagine we're gonna stay on Case Keenum all year long.
No, but I think that's obvious. I mean, at some point, they're going to make the switch to Haskins. I will tell you this, though. Case Keenum's a nice streamer this week.
Yeah,
he is. If you're in DFS, That's a nice play, man. The Giants' defense is garbage.
Yeah,
I mean it is terrible.
Terry McLaurin
and Scary Terry is balling. They're getting production from Richardson now, who could end up also being a nice little sneaky add off the waiver wire flex starter this week if you need one.
By the way, is Scary Terry from Rick and Morty, or is it from Jason Terry, former Celtics player?
Or
Jason Terry. How about that, Paul?
I'm blanking the guy for the Celtics, too. Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier. There it is.
No matter what, he's been scary for the defensive backs that are facing him, and McLaurin is... maybe not a must start this week, but he's pretty damn close.
Although I feel like we should go with the McLaurin F1 reference because we already threw out the three Scary Terrys, right? So we can't really add another one. Let's go a different direction. So McLaurin F1 there. Sam Darnold has been cleared to do cardio. The Jets are on a bye this week, but there's a very good chance he could be back in week 5 when New York is back in action. So, Graham, I would assume this is good news for Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, even Le'Veon Bell, who really over the last couple of weeks, those guys were borderline unusable.
Oh, man, the Jets need to lift bad. Luckily for them, I mean, their first two matchups out of their bye is not too bad. They get the Eagles secondary on the road, unfortunately. Then they face the Cowboys, but then they've got the Patriots and Jaguars before they face the Dolphins, Giants, and Redskins. So a little bit of a mixed bag coming out, but I think we're all going to be happy to see Sam Darnold back under center. And Chris Herndon will be back in week 5.
Oh, yep. There you go.
Yeah, and that's a sneaky add here in the next week or so if you need help at tight end. And a lot of people need help at tight end. I mean, Will Dissly is like the hero that we're all hoping he can be this week.
Yeah, I missed out on him in a couple of waiver wire ads this week.
We should note, while we're doing news, too, the Steelers traded for Nick Vanette, which is going to open up even more opportunity for Will Dissly. They've kind of been sharing snaps the first couple of weeks, and I guess now they're going to be rolling out Will Dissly.
That also means Vance McDonald. I don't know what's up with that. That sounds like
bad news for Vance.
You know, he's always been a guy with like a lot of potential, but injuries have hampered him.
Yeah, well, the Big Ben injury and now his own injury have kind of plateaued.
Now, according to reports, Jerry Dulac, who has been a longtime Steelers beat writer, says that they did not make the trade because of McDonald's shoulder injury. They said they're just trying to add some depth to the position and get a number two.
Okay. So, well, you traded a fifth-round pick.
So,
hmm.
I'm just reading what's on the Twitters. That's all.
The Steelers have been confounding, Marcus.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Last bit of news. Freddie Kitchens says he is not considering giving up play calling duties. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because that's what got him the head coaching job in the first place. But Fabs, I mean, you know, you can't keep running draws on 4th and 9, man. Like,
I don't know what happened. Like, so this may have been like the biggest goof in the NFL or in fantasy football because everyone just bought in on the Browns. Baker looked good under Kitchens last season. And they added Odell Beckham Jr. and they added some weapons on the defensive side as well. And everyone went all in. It reminds me of a few seasons ago when the Eagles went nuts in the offseason. Everyone thought that they were going to be the odds on favorites and they tanked. And Baker has looked bad. Now, part of it is his offensive line has got major issues. But this is not the offense that fantasy owners had thought they were investing in at this point. And now you've got a road game against Baltimore. I saw Baker Mayfield in one of my leagues get dropped, okay, already. He's got a road game against Baltimore. I don't want to touch him in that one. I'm not touching him in that one. I mean, Baker's been average at best and more oftentimes less than average. Look at his numbers.
The schedule upcoming is not friendly. On the road at Baltimore, they go to San Francisco. They've got Seattle. Then they have a bye. They're two games after the bye, on the road at New England, on the road at Denver. Like, it's not a good-looking schedule.
The NFL schedule makers did not do a great job here.
They've
got four straight road games sandwiched in between their bye, and they're pretty much all tough matchups.
Yeah. One of the things I thought about, I worried about, I guess, with this Browns team, and, you know, it's one thing when you are the play caller and you're the offensive coordinator and you just, you know, you get to spend your time in your little cave kind of scratching up plays and kind of coming up with fun new things, as opposed to being the head coach, where you have so much more responsibility, right? Now you got to check in on the defense. You got to check in on special teams. You just have to be a people manager on top of that. You got to deal with personalities, whereas when you are the offensive coordinator, that's really all you have to worry about.
And the Browns are in a good situation. They have Todd Monken, who as their offensive coordinator, and Monken orchestrated the Bucs offense to posting, I mean, league-leading figures in terms of pass yardage last year. Now, granted, that was because the Bucs' pass defense was terrible. But Todd Monken, conceptually and statistically, can definitely get the job done here. I'm not sure what the Browns are doing. And right now, I mean, they could be very well staring at 1-4 or 1-5 going into their bye week.
Yeah, absolutely. One last little bit of news. This is going to shake up everything.
Oh, boy.
The Patriots have signed Cody Kessler. To be their backup quarterback.
I guess Jared Stidham, they saw that one pick six, and that's all Belichick needed.
Yeah. That was enough to bring Tom Brady back into that game.
Very true.
You know, he throws a pick six, Tom Brady gets off the bench and comes back in to finish it out.
Yep.
So Cody Kessler is back in our lives at the quarterback position. There you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. Week four gets going in about a day and a half from now. So we'll go through our preview. Start with the big questions of the week. And I came up with five big questions that I have for week four. The first one, Fabs, how are we feeling about Aaron Rodgers right now?
I like him this week against the Eagles because the Eagles' defensive backfield has just not been good. Let's put it that way. But have you looked at the run-pass ratio for the Packers this season so far?
Not great. Well, not great for Aaron Rodgers.
So last season, they threw the ball 67.5% of the time, ran at 32.5. This year, they're down to 56.2% passing and 43.8% on the ground. That is a major change. And it's not that Aaron Rodgers is playing poorly. It's not that Devontae Adams is playing poorly. It's that Matt LaFleur has brought in an offense that is clearly leaning on the ground game more than any Packers offense has before because they have Aaron Rodgers. And I've said this a million times before, and I'll say it again. There's no must-start quarterback in the National Football League unless it's Patrick Mahomes. And the same goes for Aaron Rodgers. And I've got Aaron Rodgers in start him and sit him this week. And people are being like, oh, that's obvious. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not obvious anymore, guys. Aaron Rodgers is better than a matchup-based starter. But if the matchup is bad and you've got Kyler Murray or hell, I mean, we've seen young quarterbacks come in and just ball. If Rodgers has got a matchup against, say, the Chicago Bears and Daniel Jones is playing, say, the Washington Redskins, if you started Daniel Jones over Aaron Rodgers, I'd have no problem with it whatsoever.
Rodgers for now, a little over 2 years, has basically just been a middling QB1 for fantasy, and it's now trickled over into this season. He and Baker Mayfield have both not finished as a top 16 fantasy quarterback yet. It's going to happen this week for Rodgers because this is just.
I do like him this week, yeah.
This is a nuclear spot.
Yeah, this is a great spot. And let's also remember, so he was the QB6 last season,
yes,
right? But he had that one huge game against, I think it was the Jets, late in the season.
I think that was actually week 17.
It was, yeah, it
week
was
16
huge
or week
game.
17.
He had a couple of big games, and I think that one big one was against the Jets. That was the game where, like, Elijah McGuire had a good game. I think Jamal Williams had a good game. But you look at the numbers, Graham is right on here.
Yeah, I will say the Packers, I was looking at their schedule last night because I'm trying to buy Devontae Adams in some leagues. Their schedule really does open up, too, after the Eagles, so perhaps there's going to be some more shootouts and better matchups ahead. But yeah, their run-based offense is obviously not good moving forward for Rodgers.
Nope.
I guess the frustrating part about that is even if they go to a run-based offense, Jamal Williams is getting sprinkled in there with the Aaron Joneses, and so that's causing headaches.
Can we agree that predicting the running back position has gotten a lot harder this season when you're looking at the Niners and what they're doing, and when you're looking at the Packers and what they're doing, and, you know, we need more Minnesota Vikings scenarios. We need more of those. We need less of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, the Bears have tricked us a week or two so far this season. It's been really hard to sort of figure out some of these backfield scenarios. We talked about Darwin Thompson, and now this dude's not even – he's not even rosterable at this point. It's Darrell Williams in Kansas City behind Damian and LeSean McCoy. It's become tough.
Yeah.
It's become tough.
Yeah. I mean, it is in the age of specialization, it has kind of gotten harder to figure out where to go.
It has.
Speaking of running backs, Graham, is Chris Carson still the main back in Seattle?
For now. I mean, look, Rashad Penny was out last week, and I think that probably would have been the Penny game.
Right.
He kind of popped up on the injury report with a hamstring late in the week, did not play. We'll see if he practices this week, but Rashad Penny, after a really slow start to his rookie season, has been awesome. I mean, he ended the year last year, I think over his last 80 carries, he was averaging nearly 6 yards per carry. Has had the same explosiveness so far to start the year. And I would be pretty concerned for Carson owners because of the fumbling issues and because of the fact he can't hang on to the ball both as a runner and receiver. If Rashad Penny keeps ripping off explosive plays, this could turn into a little bit of a nightmare for Carson owners moving forward.
I'm telling you, the thing that makes me nervous is Pete Carroll saying, we still believe in him.
Like, yeah.
When you got to come out and say that's not good. They probably don't really
believe. I love Chris Carson too, man. He's been so good and so underrated.
I think we were
so
all
long.
In on him.
Yeah.
We were all
was.
In on him. I will say this, though. It's pretty clear that if this does go sideways and Penny becomes the 1A at the running back position, we're going to see a lot of CJ Procise on passing downs.
Which
he led the team with 55% of the offensive snaps last week.
I feel like for years we've been waiting to see a lot of CJ Procise.
And I was at one point a humongous CJ Procise truther. He was the first guy I ever charted for yards created, like five or 6 years ago. Yeah,
okay.
First guy I ever charted for yards created, but
so he's got a special place in your heart.
He does, but he got injured so much.
Yep.
Yeah. He's finally healthy now, though.
He's healthy now, but now he may end up behind Rashad Penny. So we'll see what that means. Jacoby Brissett has been really good the last couple, especially last week. He was pretty good, Fabs. We don't quite know what the status of T.Y. Hilton is going to be, but
that's the big one.
There's a matchup against the Raiders. Can you trust Jacoby Brissett this week?
Let's find out who he's going to be throwing the football to before we make a decision on that. I think two QB leagues, super flex leagues, obviously, they're still a run-based offense, though. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. This is an offense that...
Run the damn ball.
They run it with Marlon Mack. I mean, there's just no question about that.
That's a great hat, by the way.
No, I want one of those hats, actually.
but the matchup is good, this week, as you guys mentioned. So, I think you can roll him out there, but I do want to see... what's going on with T.Y. because and he's also he's already lost a weapon in the office in Funchess. So let's see what T.Y.'s status here is, because this could end up being a big Marlon Mack game.
I was just about to say that if they don't have T.Y. Hilton, Marlon Mack's going to get like 25 carries against this Raiders front seven, and that's not great for Brissett's streaming value.
No, not so much. More running back talk. Graham, is this finally the week for Kerryon Johnson?
It is. I love Kerryon Johnson.
All right.
This week. Last week without C.J. Anderson, he was finally made their bell cow back. Saw 20 carries, was on the field for 75% of snaps, like doubled up or almost tripled up Ty Johnson and routes run. And now he gets the nut matchup. He gets a perfect spot against the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense, because they play so much nickel and dime and because they do not put a ton of defenders in the box, they just get whacked on the ground. Last year, they were one of the worst run defenses in the league. And to start this season, they've given up over 6 yards per carry.
They just gave up three touchdowns to Ingram.
This is a huge spot
for Kerryon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's good. I know a lot of folks, I know people, myself included, are sort of on edge about Kerryon Johnson through the first half.
I'd be confident in him this week.
If you can somehow get Kerryon Johnson for, I don't even know what the price would be right now because he's an extremely tough value player to value, but if you can get him below what you drafted him as a third, fourth round value, I would be very, very inclined to do that moving forward. Because their line's backfield right now is just him and Ty Johnson.
It's pretty That's much it. Just him. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Last big question for the week. Fabs, how many people are you confident starting in this Patriots-Bills game? They're two top six defenses right now. I mean, the Patriots defense has not allowed a touchdown. They've given one up on special teams, and then there's the pick six.
Did you say confident?
Sure. How many people are you confident?
That's what I'm saying. None. Not even Tom Brady. Tom Brady in his last four games against the Bills has averaged fewer than 11 fantasy points per game. He has more interceptions than touchdowns. And the Bills are at home. Great pass defense. The running back situation in New England confuses the heck out of everyone. Last week it was Burkhead, but James White was out. James White's back this week. The one guy I definitely ain't playing is Sony Michel. There's no way I'm playing him. Burkhead or White maybe as a flex. We've talked about the loss of James Devlin and how big that is for Michel. I think that hurts him season long. You're looking at what's going on with Julian Edelman. If he plays, you probably have to play him. Most leagues are PPR. I think Josh Gordon also is like a flex play this week. But on the flip side, Devin Singletary could be back. And even if he isn't back, I still don't have a lot of faith in Frank Gore, volume-based flex starter at best. I'm not touching Josh Allen. Like, I get it. The Patriots have played two really bad quarterbacks so far. They played Roethlisberger in week one and then a couple of stinkers after that. But I just don't trust Josh Allen this week. And I like him a lot, but I don't trust him this week.
So Devin Singletary did not practice. It's Wednesday morning.
Right, yeah, so we don't know yet.
It might be the Gore show, Gore and Yeldon show one more time. But
and John Brown is a hard fade for me.
Really?
Yes, I don't want him this week.
Mm.
Nope, don't want it.
Interesting.
Don't want it.
I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, I feel like he gets maybe a couple of deep shots and like,
yeah,
he's a potential home run play.
Are we going to see Gilmore on him?
I don't know if he'll travel with him.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, Gilmore has been so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they'll travel with him. It'll be interesting to see because the Bills play so much like 12 and 21 personnel. They're usually in two receiver sets.
Yeah.
They could travel Brown with them.
So, so that's one that, it's had some fantasy stars the first few weeks of the season, but this is a week that maybe none of those guys see your lineup. Fantasy Goldmines, the first one, that NFC East clash, Washington at Big Blue. Fabs, you talked about it, that Case Keenum is a streamer. We know Daniel Jones is going to be a streamer. Yep. There are going to be receivers galore on both sides of this one. I mean, and look, I know I'm not huge on Wayne Gallman, but look, if there's ever a week to kind of, trot him out as a flex starter, this seems like the week against his Washington defense.
Yeah, dude. I mean, absolutely. Flex starter, right? I mean, that's I think, what he's going to be ultimately while Barkley is out. Maybe he'll be an RB2 in some leagues when we get to the heavy bye weeks, assuming that Barkley's out for those weeks as well, which it looks like he's going to be. But, I mean, you're firing up Evan Engram, no-brainer. You're firing up Shepard this week, who looked great in Danny Dimes' first start, right? I mean,
Daniel Jones is going to unlock Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, I really think so. And then on the Redskins side of it, I'm not playing the running back. Chris Thompson maybe as a flex because we're all PPR at this point. But Richardson, I mentioned, is a sneaky little play this week. Maybe not so sneaky because the Giants defense is terrible. But Terry McLaurin is a must start, a virtual must start this week, unless you're super deep at wide receiver. And if you are, I would suggest selling high on him after this game because his value is just going to explode.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, this was kind of an easy one. The next one, the Bucs at the Rams. Again, I talked about that Bucs defense, Graham. I mean, I like what Todd Bowles has done with it. I think they're being more aggressive and they're making more plays, but they still give up some points. Even if the Rams haven't necessarily been the juggernaut that we've seen, I still think it's a situation where Tampa has to keep throwing the football to stay in it. The Rams are going to try to move the ball up and down the field. This one, I don't know, maybe this is the Todd Gurley get right game.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Maybe if he's using the passing game, but this is the true... I won't say first test for the Bucs defense because I think Daniel Jones, played extremely well against them last week. But, they had the 49ers and Panthers against a limping Cam Newton. Daniel Jones making a first start. But this is going to be the first true litmus test to see if this Bucs defense is truly improved. But this is just an enormous spot for Cooper Kupp and all these guys. Yeah. Robert Woods is such a great buy low this week. I know Cooks and Kupp have both been kind of the one and two so far, but I think that'll even out as the season goes on. And it could even out just this week against this Bucs secondary.
I've seen talk that people are concerned about Robert Woods. Like, they're worried about him. Why? Because he doesn't have a touchdown, I guess, this year or something. Like, I don't know.
I have him in one of my leagues, and he's done diddly poo so far.
He's got 23 targets, 13 catches, .143. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like with those three, it's always going to kind of rotate on who it is on any given week.
Context matters, okay? Week one, 13 targets, 8 for 70. Great game. Week two, Drew Brees gets hurt. The Rams don't have to throw the ball. Robert Woods only sees two targets. Fine. Week three, he gets 8 targets, maybe a little bit unlucky. And for what it's worth, Jared Goff played like crap in that game.
He was not good.
Outside of Cooper Kupp and a few big plays to Brandon Cooks, Jared Goff was not good in that game. And it's only been one disappointing game.
Goff has not been that good this season.
Jared Goff hasn't been very good dating back even to the end of last year.
I was not on the Jared Goff train this year. And yeah. You know,
well, that's
through three weeks, it's looked okay.
Hey, I was on the
I could eat crow later.
I was on the Cam Newton train over Jared Goff, so that was just a net loss for me.
Yeah, so much for that. Last fantasy gold mine, Dallas at New Orleans. We know how good the Cowboys offense has been. The Saints, they figured it out. I mean, look, Teddy Bridgewater might not be a regular starter, but he understands to get the ball to Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, and really that's all you kind of need. So I would think that this is one. that has the potential to end up being a pretty back and forth one. I know, Fabs, you will be sure locked in on this one. This one, it should be one of the better games of the week on paper, it looks like it.
And this is, I mean, talking real football, and I get it, you know, the Saints don't have Drew Brees, but this is a little bit of a test for the Cowboys because our schedule's been soft. Listen, I admit it, dude. I mean, sorry, Eddie. Your Giants, just not that good, all right? They didn't have Danny Dimes at that point. I still don't think they're going to be all that great. Improved, certainly. But yeah, but then, you know, Dolphins and Redskins. I mean, this is a game, you know, a road game in New Orleans. A lot of electricity in that crowd. Hostile environment, I guess you could say. I really think the Cowboys are going to be up to task, though. I think Dak Prescott, he's a must-start unless you have Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, you know, basically, with what he's doing. Amari Cooper is proving to be well worth and maybe even worth more than what he was drafted at in fantasy leagues this season. I'm very interested to see how well Michael Thomas and crew do because the Cowboys' defensive backfield is a little banged up right now. So I think Teddy Bridgewater could be looking to go to Thomas a little bit more often and really show off that, you know, that kid's just impressive skill set against the Cowboys' defensive backfield that I said is maybe a little bit shaky right now.
Guys, I have a take.
Okay.
Alvin Kamara is really freaking good.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Slow down.
He's really freaking
good. I was trying to like almost talk myself into a way of believing in Randall Cobb this week, but I couldn't.
The matchup, I mean, they're not good against slot receivers.
Right. And that was sort of where I was going with it. Like, I want to, and look, maybe this is like his one blow up game for the year or whatever. Like, I can envision a scenario where it happens, but I don't know that I am brave enough to actually like test it out anywhere in the wild this
week. Yeah, Dallas didn't have to throw a ton last week, but Devin Smith played a bunch too.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He absolutely did. And I know people were asking about Randall Cobb versus Devin Smith.
When
I was sort of saying, look, I would lean toward Devin Smith, just the air yards potentially.
When I was researching Stardom and Sit'em, I did, you know, look through the slot receiver data and I was like, ooh, the Saints aren't that good against that. Should I go with Cobb?
Not.
And I'm like, there's a lot of other wide receivers out there that I like more.
Dallas could get ahead in this game and kind of just control it too, not have to throw a ton. But yeah, I mean, I was wrong about Teddy Bridgewater a little bit. I mean, they didn't ask him to do very much, but what he did do was just get the ball to Kamara and Thomas. And I mean, Sean Payton's one of the best schemers in the league. He can continue to do that and get his guys open in the right spots.
Yeah. So that'll be a fun game, I think. Absolutely. Our fantasy wastelands, the first one, Cleveland at Baltimore. It is certainly a rivalry game between the two. We talked about the fact that Baker Mayfield and that Browns offense has not been great this year. They're going against that Ravens defense, which does not, you know, encourage you to be optimistic about them. I know that the Ravens offense has been pretty good this year, but look, Cleveland, especially up front, they're really tough. Myles Garrett has just been a house wrecker so far this season. I know we're kind of keeping an eye on the secondary and who is or isn't there.
Yep. Right.
But, I mean, this could be a game where, you know, the Ravens just sort of, you know, maybe they lean on Mark Ingram a little bit. This could be a fairly low-scoring game, I think.
Yeah, I'm fading Baker. I don't want anything to do with him this week. I'd start Daniel Jones over him all day long. Kyle Allen, I'd start over Baker this week as well. You're going to start Chubb. You're going to start OBJ, obviously. Maybe that's it. And Marcus mentioned the defensive backfield. I mean, they were out. Greedy last week. Denzel was out last week. Demarius was out last week. Demarius looks like he's getting closer to returning, so that'll help. But I don't really want to make a definitive prediction on Hollywood Brown until I see what he's going to be facing with that Browns defensive backfield. But I mean, at worst, he's a flex starter, Marcus. I would think at worst he's a flex starter. And then, of course, you're starting Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram.
Starting Lamar Jackson.
And Mark Andrews is in a good place, too. This is a good spot for him.
Yeah, this could turn into a great matchup for the Ravens at home. No Denzel Ward or Greedy Williams, both missed last week with hamstring injuries. Could turn into a great, great spot for the Ravens.
Yep. Yeah, so that'll be one to watch. We talked about New England at Buffalo. Again, two defenses that come into this game ranked in the top six. The Patriots, the number one defense in the league. The Bills at number six. I won't spend a lot of time on that because we sort of talked about that one a little bit. Minnesota at Chicago. We know that the Vikings, they don't want to throw it. They haven't really been effective when they have thrown it all that much this year. I would think the Bears are going to try to lock down on Dalvin Cook and prevent him from being the guy that beats them. On the flip side, yeah, I know Mitch Trubisky threw three touchdowns on Monday night, but Come on, man. That was against Washington, man. That wasn't against Minnesota. David Montgomery is getting usurped. Not usurped, but Cordero Patterson is just throwing a wrench into the plans by showing up in the backfield, Fabs. I don't see a whole lot of points in this one.
Yeah, and I don't dig Montgomery as much more than a flex this week. You know, I just don't. Could be a low-scoring game. Projects to be a low-scoring game. I think the player or players that people are most worried about in this game, because I think we know Mitchell Trubisky's not a viable fantasy starter in most weeks, and Thielen and Diggs. You know, Diggs, yeah. I think he's 72nd in fantasy points right now. I'm something ridiculous among wide receivers. I mean, it's been awful, and you know, it's not Diggs. I mean, the Vikings have just completely changed their offensive philosophy to running the football so heavy with Dalvin Cook, and it's working so far. And now you throw in a matchup against the Bears. Is Stephon Diggs playable this week?
No. I don't think so.
The pause is my answer.
I don't think so.
Honestly, no.
The pause is my answer.
There are some like Terry McLaurin, for example, I'm playing over Stephon Diggs. But even like some fringier guys, like some fringier receiver threes, like Curtis Samuel, I would even consider over Diggs because you can project more targets for them at this point.
Yep.
I will say, though, the Bears are going to try to stop Dalvin Cook. They're going to try to stop this running game, but I don't know if they're going to be able to. Because, I mean, the Bears have one of the most talented, if not the most talented front seven, but this Vikings run game right now is just impossible to stop. I mean, they are doing... Their outside zone scheme, I mean, just no one has figured it out so far. The Bears definitely have the talent to do so.
Right.
And this game's obviously at home, good spot for them, but yeah.
I'm starting Dalvin Cook. Like, I'd be crazy not to, but I'm also sort of being prepared for the worst this week is sort of how I'm approaching this.
That's fair. They could use him more in the passing game too. I think the Vikings can do more in terms of their play action game and maybe getting Cook involved in the screen game too to kind of counteract that front seven a little
bit. Right. So we'll see how that is. Jacksonville at Denver. Craziest thing.
This is a true wasteland here. My God.
The craziest thing about this, we are through 3 weeks. The Broncos don't have a sack.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible to me.
Yeah. Especially with Vic Fangio, right?
Right.
I
don't get that. But, yeah, there's not a lot that I really like in this game on either side. I guess if you've got Leonard Fournette, you're putting him I would stay away from any of the wide receivers really in this game. Either of the quarterbacks I would stay away from. But, I don't know. I mean, I guess you start the Jags defense. You know, hoping that Joe Flacco, coughs one up or something like that.
Right. We'll see if Jalen Ramsey plays this week. We'll see.
That's a big question mark, too.
He's got a back injury now.
Yeah. Well, he had the flu on Monday. Now he's trying his hardest to not show up. But that's actually the big, I think.
I really was like, okay, maybe he really is sick. Like, I was like willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Now it's the back injury, and I'm like, all right, this is like when I was in the sixth grade and I didn't like my teacher and I would just tell my parents my stomach hurts and I can't go to school. Like, that's what that was.
Oh, I did that so much. Like, oh my God.
You know what my go-to move was? And it backfired on me once. I would say that I don't feel good and I feel hot. And my mother would come in and, you know, back at that time you had the old mercury thermometers.
Sure.
My mother would leave the room. I'd put it on the light bulb.
Yeah.
Did you have a temperature of like 120?
Like, one time.
Yeah. Could you be dead?
My God, son, we need to take you to the hospital.
The one time I did it and it didn't work, the damn thing blew up. And my mother says, what the hell happened to the thermometer?
You say you dropped it?
Mom, I don't know what happened.
I'm so sick. It just blew up.
I didn't use that. I didn't use that anymore.
So Jacksonville, Denver, you're probably staying away from it. So our streaming options for the week. Quarterback Daniel Jones obviously is out there. Kyle Allen against the Houston Texans is one. Case Keenum, another option for streaming at the quarterback spot. Any others that I might have missed for this week?
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett if Hilton plays. But that's really kind of it.
Right. Yeah. Tight ends, Will Disley obviously is the number one. Yeah, we're all on Will Disley, right? So this means it's going to go belly up, right? It's only going to go belly up because everybody is on Will Disley this week. I threw TJ Hockenson back in there.
The matchup's good.
The matchup is good. Yeah. So maybe he comes back into our lives. He obviously killed it in week one against that Cardinals defense that gives up a ton of points to tie it in. So I think this week maybe the situation is right for TJ Hockenson. I threw Trey Burton in there as well. I know that Minnesota, obviously, they have a very good defense, but they can give up points to tight ends. And we saw on Monday night that Trubisky is not afraid to target Trey Burton. So maybe he's starting to kind of get things going a little bit. Defense, the Chargers.
Yeah. Everyone's on them.
On the Chargers this week. The Tennessee Titans, I think, are another one. The Titans, their defense has an extra burden on it because their offense just can't move the football, at least with Marcus Mariota back there. So maybe the Titans are one.
How about the Steelers this week?
I want to get on the Steelers against the Bengals. I do. Yeah. I think that's one that there could be a lot of potential fantasy points.
Yeah, I've got two fun lower-end ones that are definitely probably available.
Let me see if one of them is what I'm thinking.
Colts defense.
Okay, I have them in start them and sit them.
Yep, against the Raiders. The Raiders have given up like 7 sacks back-to-back games, and I kind of like the Falcons.
Those are my two. Man.
I like
home
the
game
Falcons.
Tennessee.
Marcus Mariota keeps getting sacked. He keeps holding the ball way too fast.
He holds on. Yep. The ball a long time. Yeah. You know, just as an aside, I just wondered, Marcus Mariota he's become such a different quarterback in the NFL than he was in college.
So much of
what he did in college was designed runs and you know, trying to get him out of the pocket. And I feel like he's come to the NFL and wants to prove to everybody that he can be this pocket passer. And I'm like, dude, just be who you were, man.
Well, the pocket passer version of Marcus Mariota
is not good.
Nope.
Be the guy that won a Heisman Trophy, man. Like, go back to being that dude. And I think just be who you are. Like,
I wonder with kind of some of these smaller guys like Mariota and Kyler Murray to a much bigger extent is like, these are not very large human beings playing the quarterback position. I wouldn't want to get hit very much either by these humongous safeties and linebackers. I'm just also being honest.
I completely understand that. I think though, but I think that's where you look at a guy like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Like I said during Colin Kaepernick's day that because he took a lot of shots too as a runner quarterback.
Yes.
And I said as a 49er fan that I would take Colin Kaepernick, sit him down in a chair, Clockwork Orange style, and just make him watch Russell Wilson tape for like 24 hours, right? And that's what I would do for like Kyler Murray and Marcus Mariota, like, because Russ runs, but he's also smart enough to either get out of bounds or get down quickly and avoid a lot of those hits.
Lamar Jackson put on some weight in his upper body this offseason, and he's another very smart runner. He's he's also extremely fast, and he can get around people and get to the sidelines much faster than pretty much anybody else on the football field can, but yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, there are examples of how to do it, right? You know, I don't know. I would just try to train guys like that. So there you go. I don't know. Did we miss anything? I feel like we kind of covered it this week. I think we're all good to go. So there you go.
I think we got it all.
Kind of a bad slate, honestly. There's not a ton of great matchups. Like, it's just kind of a... It's not like there's a bunch of bad matchups either. It's just kind of a middling slate. We got two teams on bye.
Right.
Although it's nice to not have to deal with that damn backfield in San Francisco for a week.
Well, but it's going to get worse because Tevin Coleman may be back in week five.
Tevin Coleman will most likely be back.
Right. So, I mean, like this week, it's fine. We have two byes. It's byes with teams that don't necessarily have a huge impact on a lot of fantasy rosters. A couple guys missing here or there. Hey, by the way, I looked at next week's byes. It's Lions and Dolphins. So, again, we won't be missing a ton of fantasy-relevant players next week. We get to week – I'm, like, looking at these byes. Yeah, I don't know. I think we go a while before we have like bipocalypse. So at least that's something to be excited about. So there you go. That's it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading as always. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, if you say gullible really slowly, it sounds like oranges. See you on Monday.